Ethics Commission meeting. Thank you for being here. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody please stand. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And Ms. Miller, do you have an ethics thought for us?
I do, and I don't know how related they are to ethics, but they're related to jazz.
Okay.
I was in that mood today. So these are the jazz quotes. Jazz is the purest expression of democracy, a music built on individualism and compromise, independence and cooperation. Art is how we decorate a space. Music is how we decorate time. And if you're not doing what you love, you're wasting your time. And the last one is, if you stumble, make it part of the dance.
Nice.
Yep.
I like it, and it's timely with the Jazz Festival starting soon. So we'll start then with the meeting minutes from April 3rd, 2019. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about them? We'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Okay.
Minutes have been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. By your action, you've approved those minutes. Move on to staff reports. Anything from Echo?
Yes, first of all, I'd like to thank everyone for the nice flowers. It really cheered me up when I got them from you, so thank you very much. And you all now have boomerangs that I brought back for you from Australia. The first announcement is Lourdes, our staff assistant, is leaving. She's left. We're very sad about it. But her husband got a job in Tallahassee, and she is over there. But since she's part-time, I asked her if she could become part-time. And so she's still on the city payroll. She's going to be doing the minutes of the meeting. Almost everything she did, she was sitting at her desk plugged into the city computer, so it doesn't really matter where she is. So until we get someone else, she can be doing a lot of the backup work for us. And so she's agreed to do that. The main thing that we've been working on in the office is the big city council training. This is one of four volumes that the new city council people are going to be getting. Oh, God love them. And we have an ethics one that we're preparing. It's intense. Like every 4 years when we get a lot of new people in, it's the biggest training we've got because they don't even know how to get up on the dais and turn on their microphones. So we're doing a lot of basic instruction. But we're basically doing the whole morning of ethics training. And we've extended it out to all of the beaches elected officials. And George's wife is coming as a new city council person from Jacksonville Beach. And we have, for the first time, 16 people, elected officials, coming from the beaches to join all of our elected officials. And then we got this call from the Soil and Water
Conservation
Districts. You know how you vote for the soil and you wonder what they do? anyhow, they don't have any training, and they're not really connected to anything here in town. So for the first time, we have the Duval Soil and Water people coming to our training. Now, the reason I mention the training is it's Wednesday, June 5th in the morning. And what I would like is if anybody wants to come and at 9 o'clock and be introduced, you know, I'd like to say, and here are the Ethics Commission members, and announce, you know, whoever is there, you know, like Joe Rogan, our chair, and, you know, whoever comes. And you don't have to stay for the whole morning. You're welcome to stay. You can see our training. You can analyze it. You can say, oh, my gosh, if I were a new council person, I wouldn't understand any of this. Or, like, really, you can evaluate on the spot if you want to and take notes to help us improve the training. So that's Wednesday, June 5th, starting at 8 in the morning with brunch, a continental breakfast, and then the city council picks up with the city council president-elect, and we start in with the training at 9. Now, if you can only come for a short period of time, you can, like, we can get you organized outside, like in a little clump around 9, like 10 of 9, and bring you in, introduce you to the whole group, and then you can leave. You don't have to spend the whole morning. So think about whether, one, you want to come at all, two, if you want to come for like 5 minutes to take a bow, or if you want to stay for the morning and really kind of like delve into the training. So those are your choices. I hope you can all come for the, at least for the 9 o'clock. We've had, as you know, the local elections, a lot of new, brand new people. Some of them, like, you know, Tommy Hazuri was in a runoff with Greg Rachel. And so Tommy wins his election. I don't have to jump on, you know, calling him and training him because he's already been through several trainings. But we had a lot of new people. Leanna Cumber, Mike Bolin, Brenda Priestley Jackson, Randy DeFore, Ron Salem, Rory Diamond, you know, and so as soon as they won their election the next day, I called them. They got a one-page summary of the laws that immediately applied to them, and I've been working with each of them, getting them ready for the June 5th training. So they all know about ethics immediately and sunshine law. So good group we have coming in. I shouldn't pick favorites, but Rory Diamond, you know, he does canine warrior, for warriors. And he goes around with this cute dog all the time, and the dog is in training. So cute. Anyhow, it's a great group we have coming in. We're also in the middle of preparing our budget for next year, and we have a budget hearing in June. Let's see. Someone who asked about financial disclosure. You all filed for the calendar year 2018, but the State Ethics Commission is going to send you all the forms anyhow. So just throw them away if you filed for calendar year 2018. Most of you have. Some of you may not have. If you have any questions about that, just let Kirby and I know. And lastly, we have another Global Jacks event that the State Department has asked us to do with officials from Paraguay. And that's June 18th. If anybody wants to come, if anyone speaks Spanish, please come. They run finance for the country of Paraguay. And Director of Finance for Paraguay, all the lawyers that work for that department. And they're coming to learn about transparency and finance in order to curb corruption in their country. So we will be working with them for about an hour and a half, and I think that that'll be interesting. So you're all invited to that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
What time is
that? What time? It starts at 1:30, and so it'll be like 1:30 to 3 o'clock. And those are fun, aren't they, Joe, to like interact with all of you've been to?
I think they're really interesting. I think I said that last meeting. That's what I've thought is really neat. I've been to the last two and seeing the differences in what different countries think is important. And I don't even remember which they were. The last group was really here to sort of soak everything up. And the group before that was very critical of the things that we said. So we would say, oh, transparency is great. And then you get a question like, being transparent. I mean, I saw what's in the news, and so it was it's really interesting seeing the differences between the groups.
Russians and the...
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, you're all invited.
Thank you.
That's, JJ, that's for you.
Thank you so much. Wow. So nice.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you. Give a report from OGC. Thank you for being here. Do we have a committee report from the Complaints Committee?
Yes, we have a committee report from the Complaints Committee, and it will be short. We received one complaint since we last met. The complaint was regarding was an allegation against somebody who was running for office, and so based on our complaints procedure, the complaint was returned.
Okay. That's the only complaint disposed from last week?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Do we Ms. Gowner's not here, and I don't recall who's the vice chair of legislative, but I don't think that committee's met since the last time. None of these have. So there should be a report from anybody else. Do any of the other committee chairs have anything to add before I just move past that? Hearing none. Ethics Commission training top 10 danger areas. Lighten us.
All right. So if you recall, instead of all of you coming to the board and commission training that we do for 1 hour, we were going to break it up into little pieces. And this is one piece. And I'm not going to belabor these points because you're pretty familiar with them, but you've got the outline. Pretend we have a PowerPoint. So what we do with boards and commissions is we've identified the 10 danger areas for all of the boards and commissions in the city. And so we train them on this. And we tell them, you know, to ask questions and really get them to be able to call us, email us, or whatever before they do something. And so we every time we have one of these, we get a bunch of calls right afterwards and people start calling us more. But the first thing we go over is sunshine. And we talk about how meetings are open, accessible, they have to be properly noticed, and you can't communicate, and you all know this because we've been over it before, but you can't communicate with any of your board members about things that could come in front of the Ethics Commission outside of a notice meeting. So you've all got that. And a lot of times people want to send out articles to other board members, which you can do, a one-directional communication, but it's always best to give those to Kirby or myself, and we'll send them out for you. On the second page, you want to avoid liaisons. Like, for instance, you wouldn't want to call me, and Carlton wouldn't want to call me and say, well, what do you think if I bring this up? Do you think Joe will like that idea? You know, and I say, well, let me call him and find out. You know, so we can't act as a liaison because that circumvents the sunshine law. Public records. All of your, the things that you write down in connection with the Ethics Commission's public record, if you keep them in your notebook when you leave the commission one day, we'll take that notebook and we'll preserve all your records for you so you don't have to keep them in a box in your garage somewhere and then a flood comes and you've destroyed public records. So anything that you want to preserve, keep in your notebook and we'll hold on to it for the next 50 years in case anyone asks. Your public records are not just things like your notebook here. Like if you're at home and someone sends you an email, like, hey, I know you're on the Ethics Commission, that is a public record that you're creating, even though it's on your personal cell phone or your personal computer. Gifts is the next area, and we don't get gifts. No one is giving us things in the Ethics Commission. But... yeah, well, that's true. We do have the boomerang here, but it's gifts. Gifts, prohibited gifts are those in excess of $100. I can assure you that you are safe with the boomerang. But especially, you know, it's what we run into with boards is they're always surprised to find out that they've been going to their neighbor's vacation house in St. Augustine for the last 10 years, and now they're on a board. And surprise, surprise, that person lobbies the city of Jacksonville. And the value of that vacation home is in excess of $100. I don't know about you guys. I don't get a lot of presents over $100. But if you do, take a close look at the person and see if they have any city connection, because that could be an illegal gift. Don't ask for any favors or things, you know. Hey, I'm on the Ethics Commission. I see you're at our meeting. Can you give me some legal advice or can you do something? You never ask any favors. Voting conflicts. Clearly, if any family connection or any of your business associates are in front of the Ethics Commission, you have a conflict of interest and you have to remove yourself from considering that matter. And you can't vote on anything that brings a financial benefit to yourself. Last page or page four, you or your family cannot do business with the city, some exceptions. you can have an employment or contractual relationship with a company doing business with your board. And misuse of position, we've talked about that before. Like, do you know who I am? I'm on the Ethics Commission. You better be really careful about what you do. I mean, you never want to mention your position in connection with anything out in the real world. A public comment, you're familiar with how we allow for public comment before we make decisions. Danger Area 9 somehow got in here as bribes. I don't know why. Yeah, I have to look at this training because it's not like a lot of people are taking bribes in the city. So I need to find something else to stick in there. But don't take any bribes. Okay. All right. We'll keep it in. If you take anything, really, the public will always believe that you're being influenced, especially around a time like where we're considering complaints. Boy, then it's tightened up, and anybody wants to pick up your lunch or let's talk about it, and here's coffee and a donut, it's like, oh, no. And that's ex-party communications, too, and we would not entertain ex-party communications from people. It just is so inappropriate. And we have had some tight cases in the last couple years where people will try to influence members of the Ethics Commission. So we have to be really, really tight as we get into those high-profile cases. Dual office holding, you can't be on two boards at the same time. Sometimes you can, but we have to take a look at it legally. So that's a review, and we spend about a half an hour with new board and commission members going over all of those things. So this is just a reminder, because you know these things, we went over them initially on some of your training. But that's our official board training on the top 10. Any questions? Cool. Yeah. Yeah, this is our regular training to do with the boards and commissions. Yeah. This is one. Yeah. It's the one where you have the section on.
I leave, though.
Oh, yeah, this is what we do after you leave. Sure.
While we're on the topic.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you're going to get, sounds like, a very strong majority of newly elected members of the Three Beaches Councils. And I recall shortly after I got on the commission, or might even have been before, you came out to Beaches Watch and talk about ethics. And the offer was kind of implicitly there for the beach communities to take advantage of this resource that our tax dollars, pay for, and basically opt into the local ethics office. And we've had some ethical concerns in Jack's Beach recently here. There, one of the individuals who might have been involved said that he phoned the State Ethics Commission and got a go-ahead. And it would be clearly a lot easier if they could do this locally. So where I'm going with this is it might be worth remaking that offer, because one or more of the beaches communities might agree to come under the auspices of the commission.
Sure, yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Use the resource.
Yeah, we brought that up. In fact, it went up to the Florida.
Can you explain just for people who weren't there back then what you're talking about?
Sure. How many years ago was it? About 5 or 6 years ago, we invited the beaches communities we were getting hotline calls of this has happened at the beach with our mayor, with our commission. And we said, we don't have any jurisdiction over the beaches. Don't, under our charter. And so there were some people that wanted to have this ethics commission handle questions and cases, come under our jurisdiction. And so that actually came up with the Florida legislature as a J bill to go over to Tallahassee. And the mayors at the time from the beaches all came and said, oh, no, we're handling everything just fine. We don't want to have any ethics. So there was a resistance to it. And we had enough going on trying to get our independence with the ethics. And we had enough fighting for that at the time. But it may be with all of the newly elected people coming to the training that it might be time to broach the subject again. They don't have a lot of issues out the beach, but when they do, they really don't have someone to work with them on it. And I've had calls from the beaches, from the mayors out there and the commissioners, where they want me to kind of work through something with them. And I've done that, even though we're not, we don't have jurisdiction, but I help them anyhow. Jack's Beach especially, there's been things there that I've helped with. It would be. I don't know. Let me think about the protocol of doing that. And maybe Georgette, your wife who's on Jack's Beach Commission, might have some ideas of how to approach that. If one of them did it, then it's likely that the others would fall in line. Okay.
Any other questions? No? Okay. Moving on to old business. Let's start with 2019-220.
If you recall, that was the bill where asked for parts of Chapter 12 of the Jacksonville Ethics Code to be eliminated. Councilmember Gulliford sponsored that bill because the local general counsel indicated that we didn't have enforcement rights over it. Like, you can't enforce it, so if you can't enforce it, why bother having it? And so those were eliminated. The city council passed that on May 16th. So that means that all that verbiage at the end of the ethics code that was confusing to people is not there anymore, which is good.
Hearing none, let's actually go out of order here.
Excuse me. 2954. I sent you some emails yesterday, and for exciting video viewing, you can see the actual 30 minutes where the bill was brought up. And once again, Councilmember Schellenberg said, "Oh, I need to think about this. I need another 2-week deferral." And you know, I had talked with every council person prior to that, and they were ready to vote against it. He said, "Well, I need a deferral." The chair granted him another 2-week deferral. So Kirby and I left, and then, like, I don't know, 5 minutes later, they had eliminated some bills of Councilmember Anna Brochet's, and then Councilmember Cressenbetti is just kind of shuffling his papers. He says, "I don't see how the Bill 54 is any different than the ones we just voted to withdraw," and everybody said, "Yeah, no, we don't withdraw." And then, anyhow, it got withdrawn. It was funny. It was, anyhow, it's not particularly funny, but for those of us that are really into it, you know, it's just strange. And so it is now dead. It is. It goes to the consent agenda for the council on Tuesday. So that's when it will finally, it's almost dead at this point. So that was 5 months, 5 months. And I would say that probably there is some talk, like, it's interesting about this commission and how people are appointed. And it kind of raised its, you know, like the interest in this particular bill. But there's still talk about that. We have a Charter Revision Commission coming up, and we may see that again. Because what, imagine, if you are an elected official around the country, there's fights about this. Like, you'll have a mayor in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they have an ethics commission. It's like, well, I don't see why these people are coming from all over, like from state attorney and mayor and council and judge. And I think I should appoint everyone to the commission, because then I'll know who's on the commission. And there's always that tension, like, who gets to appoint? And we've had such a great group over the last 30 years. I mean, just really unbelievably dedicated people. No matter who appoints them, they all kind of come in here and they really want to do a good job, just like juries do. You know, you wonder about the jury, and then they come in and the sense of purpose of what they're supposed to be doing rises above, you know, any considerations they had when they first got on. We've never had a problem with that. But is that what, I mean, I'm sure the president of city council would like to appoint everyone on this commission. the mayor would like to appoint. I mean, wouldn't you, like, if you were in that position, like, you would just, it would seem like the thing to do, and you would have good reasons why that seems like a good idea. It's not a good idea. And so we would fight that. And I don't think this was a bill to start in that direction. And I think that it's tip of the iceberg, and we may be seeing it come up again. So we will be vigilant in, you know, seeing if anything emerges and making sure that it gets defeated. Because the citizens always come out, and they get it, and they oppose it. So hopefully it's all quiet now. And General Counsel's office we had a meeting about this, and the General Counsel has assured me that if they have any concerns or they want to move in that direction, that they would meet with your chair and myself before they did anything. So we have that commitment.
Thank you for your hard work on that, you and Kirby both. I know that was a frustrating experience, but this does happen every few years. Every 2 or 3 years, there's an effort to change something about the commission. And so this time and 2 years ago, it was this same. And before that, it was an effort in 2014 to change the composition of the commission of some kind. There was a bill on that. So this comes up periodically, and it's important for us to stay vigilant in the ECHO office to keep monitoring those, because I don't check the city legislation list nearly as often.
That's a question, because I'm not aware. when these things come up, I guess it's more a question for you, Ms. Carla. When these things come up, do they generally come up from the council side or from the mayor's administration side, or where do they come from?
Oh, you know, sometimes it's hard to actually figure that out. But you don't even wait until the legislation gets filed. If we're doing our job, we find out about 5 months ahead of time. I smell it happening. I do in this building. I know when it's happening, and then I have to find out, like, who had this bright idea and who is behind it. And sometimes it's really hard to trace. And I can tell you when it comes up. It comes up when you have, like, the situations that this commission has handled that have been politically sensitive, and it ruffles feathers. And then, like, imagine who has ruffled feathers. It's not rocket science here. You know, like, who has the ruffled feathers? You turn around and say, you have ruffled feathers. And, and, you know, if I could pick everyone on the commission, you know, this wouldn't happen. Yeah, so it's easy. You look for, like, feather droppings. I mean, really. And for 20 years, this has occurred. And we always win in the end with those fights. We do. We do, because we're on the side of it being right that we have to be independent. And so it just is, we can never get complacent or lazy about this. We have to be, like, on top of it. And really, waiting for the legislation to be filed, that's almost too late. Because there's little clues that we get that those things are arising. So continue to be vigilant, and we had that meeting that I thought was excellent that your chair attended with the General Counsel. It's like, look, we're on it. We want to know, like, way ahead when you think the idea of legislation and ethics, we want to know. We want to be in the loop on that. And so he's quite cooperative with that, and I'm sure, you know, everything has to go through General Counsel's office, and if the General Counsel's office has agreed to give us a heads up if anything's coming before they draft it, now, hopefully we can prevent anything happening to the commission.
Thank you both for your work on that. Like I said, there was a lot that went into 2019-54, and I appreciate the Rules Committee and Councilmember Schellenberg supporting the withdrawal of that bill. I think it's on that for now. Any questions or comments? Okay. ECHO budget.
That's just good news. You remember last meeting? I had a budget request, which was interesting, you know, like, after feathers were ruffled, to go in and say, I'd like more money for the ethics mission. Yes. anyhow, the mayor's office was receptive, wanted to know what they could do to help the ethics office, and so they added 234 extra hours, part-time hours, into our budget, and $10,860 for half of the year, and assured that like $22,000 will go into the budget next year. And that provides for part-time hours for my position so that I don't work for free in August and September, which is great. You know, it'll be a new year, you know, to actually get paid for August and September. But more importantly, I wanted to establish more money in the budget, you know, for the ethics office. So we now have an increase in the budget. And the mayor's office is very supportive of that.
Thank you for doing that. I know that this comes up every year with the budget because, frankly, Carla is humble and doesn't want to ask for more money in her position. And at least in the 3 years that I've been here now, we constantly ask her to keep pushing for more money because it's not just about Carla. It is about her position. And we need to make sure that 4 years from now, when Carla decides, retires, that we have two positions that can retain two people as talented. We're not going to be able to accomplish that if we have a total of $160,000 to spend on both positions. So we do need to keep pushing for this. And this is increased, and I've said it before, I appreciate the mayor's support of this because our personnel financial support has increased every year for the past number of years. And so we are on our way to having that. The office really needs two full-time positions, and that's the way you guys run it. Notwithstanding the hours you have, so I appreciate that.
It's like constant nibbling on the budget. Nibble, nibble.
We were talking about ruffled feathers. Well, we could. Hopefully, we're smoothing feathers now and again. In that, when I first met you, Carla, I mean, ethics or the ethics commission status here was gloom and doom, and it was all just awful. And then I watched as you were made permanent, and then the budget just kept growing. And I'm saying, you know, are you living in the same world that I'm living in? So hopefully, when you talk to people, you point out that, you know, we were more staff than we've ever been. Our budget continues to go up, you know, because this is not the stereotype of a corrupt town. If it is, it's a really, really confident corrupt town because they think they can set up an independent ethics commission and still get away with it. And I don't think they're, you know, that's just not the scenario. So I hope that, you know, as you talk to people, you do point this out, that there is a lot of support among the people that we are keeping an eye on to strengthen this commission.
Oh, and I do, and I'm grateful for the mayor's help. But I don't discount the fact that we have institutional corruption in this city, and it like that some of the things in the ethics code that have never gotten in the ethics code for us to enforce, there's a reason why that occurs. So I'm... But, of course, if we compare it like to countries that you study, like Brazil and countries in Africa, you know, we're really clean, you know, like Iraq, for instance, you know, they've got problems there. So we're clean. But as far as cities in the United States with institutional corruption that's legal and how contracting and procurement goes, there's things that can be done in that area that would elevate fairness for people in this city. You know, so, you know, I don't think our job is done or that we need to relax. But I think that we've always had support from the city council, tremendous support from the city council, from this mayor's administration. And there could be pieces of feathers around and everything. But basically, they want to support the ethics initiative. I still think we have work to do. I don't... Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I may, it's not on budget, but it's to Dr. Candler's point that he was just making that I wanted to share with you all. The last several council meetings that I've attended with Carla on some of these various provisions that have come up, it has struck me the number of times members of council have stood up and talked so effusively about their respect and their praise for Carla and what a job she has done. So to the extent that there has been a shift in culture of how the commission is viewed and the office is viewed, it is in large, no small feat, rather the large job that Carla has done. And Councilmember Anderson in particular stood up at the Rules Committee on Tuesday and said, when Carla called me about 2019-54, I paid attention because she doesn't often call, but when she calls on a bill, she has really important points to discuss, things that ought to be considered, and she made a very valid argument for why it should be withdrawn, and he was very persuaded by that, but he was not alone in his persuasion. Many members on Rules Committee were persuaded by her, and they have been very effusive, and rightfully so, in their praise of her.
That's so nice. I mean, really, it's a growing process, isn't it? Really, because maybe 2007 when I got in, it was more of an adversarial type thing. And we really had to fight to get the independence. We really did have to do that. But once that happened, now it's been more cooperative over the years. So it's really been like a joint growth process, I think, for the Ethics Commission and the office. It's worked out good.
Business.
This is a bill that has everyone gotten a copy of the bill?
Yes,
in your notebook. This is a bill that I didn't know about, but Council Member Crescenbenny proposed it, and he called me about it. And what he wanted to propose in the legislation was that anybody in the city who's in a board or commission, once they leave that board or commission, they can't come back and lobby the board and commission that they sat on. And so I'm thinking of the hundreds of boards we've got all over the city and that, you know, we'd have to train, you know, like you have the arts and public places, you know, on some of these little boards and trying to train them on this would be difficult. I said, why don't we limit it to the Form 1 filers, people that have to file state financial disclosure, the boards that make decisions, the independent authorities, the planning board, the building code adjustment board, the boards that have power over people's lives to make decisions. Let's just limit it to that. So that's what his bill does, and you have a copy of it here. And so John Crescenbenny is cycling off after 8 years on the city council. Every major bill supporting the Ethics Commission has been sponsored by John. Maybe there's one or two that he just signed on as co-sponsor, but he's been a huge supporter of the Ethics Commission, a fighter for what we've been trying to do. So this is his bill, and I was hoping we could discuss it and maybe give a vote of confidence to this bill for him. It's a good idea, I think. City council people now, when you leave city council, under state law, you cannot come back and lobby city council. And that just went up to the State Ethics Commission. Our general counsel wanted to carve out an exception for our council people. And the State Ethics Commission said, no, you're on a city council. You leave for 2 years. You can't come back and lobby. And we have a new constitutional amendment going in that you all voted on. And that constitutional amendment will extend that time after 2022 to 6 years. You can't come back. And it's like, we don't want a revolving door. We don't want people, like, using their position. In the state law, kind of further down, it says, and municipalities can apply this to boards and commissions in their towns. So the state actually prompts this bill. Saying you can do that if you want to, if you want to limit people on your local boards and commissions. And so this bill just says, listen, if you're in an important board in the city where you file state financial disclosure, you leave that board, you can't turn around and be a paid lobbyist and come back to just the board that you were on. So if you're on the planning commission and you're working for like 6 years on the planning commission, you leave, your term is up, and then someone hires you to be their lobbyist and you come in front of the people that you've worked in front of for 6 years. This bill would prevent that from occurring. And I think it's you know, a good bill, and certainly anticipated by Florida law that municipalities could do this.
Will this have an impact on Roy Boyer?
It does. I mean, that was the thing that the state ethics commission opinion was requested to say, well, you know, isn't it, you know, like really, we're all one big happy family here because of our charter, and doesn't this law really, it doesn't apply? And the state ethics commission says, no, it applies. And so that's why Lori Boyer, as head of DIA, cannot lobby the city council. And she's indicated that she gets in the position, and for 2 years she honors that. And if they need to have lobbying, they hire a lobbyist to go lobby. But she can't do it. She can't go to city council and say, here's what I think is director of DIA. So if we do that for the city council, then our other main boards, like the independent authorities, for instance, you have, JPA, the Port Authority or something. They work 6 years on the Port Authority, then they go out and someone says, oh, you'd be a good person to go lobby the Port Authority, and then they get hired to go right in. And Councilmember Crescent Benning's point is, like, well, if we can't do it in the council, why do these other boards, what's the difference here in them being able to influence the boards that they just left?
Even worse if you were on a board and you represented a client who had something before that board.
That would be violating state law. So, yes, that would be worse. That would be worse.
Can't imagine that happening.
Any comments or questions? There are pros and cons to these kinds of laws. I mean, there's obviously a con when you're restricting. There's an argument that you may get less qualified board members if they're concerned about going back to organizations that are going to lobby those boards. And that's certainly an argument I've heard. But on the other side, you really want these boards. I mean, the Planning Commission comes to mind as a really important one. Those members not to be thinking about what's next when they're deciding what's going to happen to our fellow citizens and what requests will get approved or whether the companies in Jacksonville's requests will get approved. We don't want that contingent on what job comes after your service. Same thing applies to JEA and all the independent authorities. So I think it's a good idea. I think there are cons to it, like anything, but I do think it's a good idea.
That's why the 2 years I think is reasonable. The state now putting 6 years is, I thought, whoa, that's an interesting constitutional amendment. That takes them out of the ballgame for quite a long time. 2 years, I think, is more reasonable. But I know that Councilmember Crescent Benning would appreciate our support on this, and he certainly has gone to bat for us on so many occasions, I can't even count them. So, we could, if the commission wanted to have a resolution in support of this particular bill and let your chair draft something comparable to past resolutions we've had, either pro or con for bills.
I move that we issue a resolution in support of ordinance 2019.393.
Okay, there's a motion and a second on this. First, I would offer public participation, but there is no public here. And is there any, do you have a motion and a second to pass a resolution in support of 2019-393? Is there any further comment?
I have a question. You mentioned one con that makes perfect sense to me. I still support the resolution. I wonder, you mentioned there might be others. Help me think of one. What's one more con?
That is the main one. And really the way I heard this is, discussion about the state amendment that was just passed by Florida pretty overwhelmingly. And that was the main argument I heard, is that you're self-filtering the members who will join those boards if they don't think they can go back and do something relevant right afterward. But you have to balance that with the risk that comes with them going immediately back to lobbying their board. So have you heard any other arguments against
it? No, it's basically, we can't profit from being on that board for 2 years, and we find that not good. That's the argument.
Benefit of filtering out that self-interest in joining these boards has to be far greater than the cost of getting otherwise honest people who do have the background in the field, going on board for a couple of years. So, I understand the logic, but it just seems. Doesn't work for me.
Do you want the motion to say something specifically about what you would want in the resolution, since we don't have a resolution here to review?
I understood the motion was to give me the discretion to write that resolution.
Carla said, along the lines of similar resolutions that we've
Is that how you understood it when you seconded the motion? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, call a vote on this. All in favor say aye.
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 Are there any opposed?
All right.
Your action, you have approved a resolution in support of 2019-393. Thank you. Please do. Last item here is an update on the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. I'm doing good on time. By virtue of chairing this, I get to sit on the, I have the distinct honor and privilege of sitting on the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee, which is a 7-member committee that has some level of oversight over the Inspector General's office. I don't want to overstate that because we have no oversight into her day-to-day activities, but we have the authority to hire, recommend firing, and to annually evaluate the Inspector General's performance. Our Inspector General right now is Lisa Green. She introduced herself to the commission a while ago, but I think it may have been before our newest members joined. Have you guys met Green? Okay. So I think it would be helpful if we invited her in June. Whenever our next meeting is, we should invite her. Ms. Green has been our Inspector General for almost a full year now, which will make her Jacksonville's longest-serving Inspector General. Yes, which is kind of incredible. The Inspector General's office is a very interesting and necessary piece of our government, and as part of this, what our chair, who's rotates, but right now as the council president, has tasked us with doing is rewriting the evaluation form that we use for the Inspector General's office. We did that. I wish I could have gotten your input beforehand, but it just didn't work out. I tried to schedule this meeting before we had to meet to approve it. So that committee met yesterday and approved a new form. And I do want to say that the members of that organization, just so you're aware of them, are really engaged, and it's kind of refreshing to see. The CAO sits on that as the designee of the mayor. Right now that's Sam Musa, and we'll turn into Brian Hughes once Brian takes office in July. And the support that Mr. Musa has offered the IG is pretty it's pretty awesome to see. And so Ms. Green will present what she's working on, and she'll point out that she has struggles with certain areas of the government, and you'll immediately see from Sam Musa, he'll say, "Mr. Chair, may I?" And he'll say, "Yes." And he'll say, "Who is it exactly that's giving you troubles over there?" And then, you know, his notepad's open, and so the support that the CAO offers to the Inspector General is definitely to be commended. And you see that the public defender, Charlie Kofer, attends personally and has been very Hutton, who used to chair this committee, and he usually attends in Ms. Nelson's place, and the chief judge usually sends, so I guess the chief judge has two people there right now, but the chief judge usually sends the court counsel, who am I missing? And then the president of the council that usually does attend.
The true commission
chair was there. So that's that. We have to do evaluations, and the way we do that is that the 7 members of the committee independently evaluate the Inspector General and then submit it, and then our scores are averaged. If you have the opportunity to review anything that the Inspector General has done, some of the reports, the annual report, which is distributed or available online, please do, and let me know at the next meeting if you have any comments that you would like me to think about in doing that evaluation. It's always a balance. So the Inspector General's office has some cases that have been open since before Mayor Curry's administration, and that strikes me as a little bit problematic, just having cases open that long. Now, someday that report will be released, and we'll see what they are, and if it's, you know, if they're able to successfully recover billions of dollars, I'll stand corrected on the amount of time it took to get those done. But if it doesn't, then I'm going to wonder whether it's effective to engage in an likely that anybody of significance that was around then, having now changed administrations and changed political parties, that I just wanted to let you guys know kind of what's going on in that committee. And if anybody has any comments or thoughts on that, let me know. During these meetings, of course. The Inspector General does have to report to the Commission yearly, and so she did that in, I think it was December. I don't even know when it was now. But she did come report to the Commission, and we'll invite her to come attend again. But she seems to be doing generally a good job and supportive of the work she's doing, especially just the Inspector General's office generally does really well. But like I said, I do have some concerns. Any questions or any comments about IG?
I have a comment about what you did, the work that your chair did. So her evaluation's coming up, and Joe called several inspector generals in the state of Florida, analyzed all of their evaluation processes, and then put together like point by point everything that needed to be done for the evaluation. Incredible, thorough work. I mean, it was amazing, really well done. And I think impressed the other members of the committee because some of the committee members, you know, are just kind of quiet and they show up for the meeting. Not Joe. He comes.
So I'm sure shocks all of you.
So he's a great representative for the commission.
The main thing that I changed, if you're interested in the evaluation form, is it was written by, and so I don't want this to be ascribed to Ms. Green at all. The form was written by a prior inspector general, and it was written by somebody who was thinking about being evaluated by it, right? And so, like, the mere completion of the annual report, which is required by the code, satisfies like six different, you know, measures. And so, you know, we collapsed all that into one measure that sort of covers all of self-evaluation and reporting and kind of combined things that should have been combined. And the Inspector General was very supportive of the changes I made. She had very minor tweaks to my suggestions, and then it was approved unanimously by the committee. So that was good.
Age of detail recommendations. Adopted as
All right, anything else on this or anything we've covered? Hearing none. Okay. There are not going to be any public comments since there is no public in attendance. And so that moves us to announcements, which I really just want to, this has been really good, I think, having these meetings on the schedule, so I'd like to schedule out a few months if we can do that. This has helped me to have meetings scheduled months in advance, so I don't schedule over these times.
I'd also add that typically with the commission in the summer, it's not like we take the whole summer off, but there usually we have a little bit of a break in the summer because we have so many people on vacations. It traditionally has been hard to get quorums. So I just mentioned that, you know, usually the months are June, August seem to be the months where everybody's out traveling. So I just offer that to you. But if you want to, like, you know, something different, that's fine. Just mention that summer.
I think support for that break has been drained. Last year there was actually a split vote on whether we were going to take the summer.
No, it's not the whole summer. I mean, I think that's excessive, but anyhow.
That was approved 5-2 last year.
We had so many exciting things going on at the time.
All right, so let's do schedule something in June, though, because I want to meet before the Inspector General plan.
When is that?
That is on the 24th. Could we meet on the
20th?
Could we meet on the 20th of June?
I can.
You can?
Yeah.
I can if we're done by 7.
Oh,
does that work for everybody? Okay. Ms. Fox, does that work for you?
What time?
5.
Yeah. 5, okay. All right, June 20th at 5. And then, unless anybody objects, I'd like to just ask for a committee meeting in July. Does anybody have an objection to that? Anybody wants us to meet at the commission, we'll find a date. It'll be shut. Okay. All right, so in July, Ms. Gowner's not here, but really, I think it's just legislative that needs to meet. I know complaints, you're on top of it. Open government, I know why that committee hasn't met. I know what you're waiting for, so that's fine. And I don't think internal ops has anything to do right now. So we really just need legislative to meet. I know that's 5 members, so that's, we'll just do that in place. that'll be July. So August. I don't know why I'm looking at these Thursdays.
22nd. I'll be on vacation.
Seems so it starts.
How about the 13th?
I've got a meeting. 3 o'clock.
14th.
Should be able to.
Yeah. 14th. Is that a hesitant yes I'm getting from an unnamed side of the table? If we don't have things to discuss, we can cancel these meetings. We won't meet just to meet, but let's hold these times so that we really have them on the schedule. All right, September. It's scheduled through the end of the year.
Oh my God, this is ambitious.
I don't know off the top of my head what nights I'm teaching.
Oh, that's right, you won't have your class schedule yet. All right. Does that work for now? Can we?
Yeah.
So sure. Next month, can we schedule through the end of the year?
Yep, I can do that.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate you helping me get all that on the calendar. Are there any other announcements? Anything else we need to do?
We're good.
Okay.
Really?
Got that too.
And I got something from you, allegedly.
Yeah.
I got something from me?
Yeah. No, from Ellen.
I can see how this might have happened. I typed this ethics commission in and clicked the link that said full meeting, like we have. So maybe you guys.
Says this meeting was rescheduled.
Some kind of horrible faux pas because I emailed everybody in the whole.
No, we're in a public meeting. This is when you can do this.
Okay. You're good. And don't.
Nobody reply to it.
Yeah, it did come from you. And don't forget to put June 5th on your calendar. We'll send you an email and just figure out like how much time you want to commit, 5 minutes, none, or you know, an hour or two.
June 18th?
Oh, for Global Jacks. Okay, good. Yeah, you'll enjoy that.
Else? All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Have a good evening, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Glenn.
Thanks.
See you, Mary.
Thank y'all.
Wonderful.